Okay, Mazel Tov, everybody, on finishing Maseches Sukkah. Very exciting. Be'ez Hashem, we hope to continue Maseches Beitzah with everybody and go through the Masechta. So just a basic introduction when it comes to Maseches Beitzah is that it's called Beitzah really because that's the first topic, Beitzah Shenolda. That's why it's called Maseches Beitzah. And in fact, many Rishonim actually would refer to this as Maseches Yom Tov. There's Maseches Yom Tov because many of the discussions over here, it's going to be talking about halachas of the Yomim Tovim. The Yomim Tovim are going to have a fundamental difference. We know that all the 39 malachas are going to be the same with regards to Shabbos and Yom Tov. One major difference in the punishment is that when it comes to the punishment for Shabbos, you chayev skila and misa. However, when it comes to the punishment on Yom Tov, you chayev alav and malchus. You're not going to be chayev misa. And another major, major exception is the pasuk itself, which tells you, kol malacha lo yasa behem ach asher yachel lechol nefesh hu levado yasa lechem. That which is eaten by any person, that can be performed by you. So this telling us that a person is allowed to light a fire, or cook, or bake, or do any malacha in order to prepare food. However, there are some exceptions with that. The Gemara itself is going to mention that that trapping might be an issue, and kotzer might be an issue. So the Gemara doesn't exactly say what exactly is the geder for when is it mutter and when is it usher to deal with food. So they're showing them try to find different way to fit it in a box, to fit it in a give us a geder, give us a criteria of when it is mutter, when it's usher to do malachas for. Rashi tells us that malachas that could have been done with the same exact results from the day before, that is going to be usher to do on Yom Tov. There's nothing that's going to be better. However, when it comes to shechting and cooking, the food is inherently better when you do it on Yom Tov and more fresh, so therefore it's going to be permitted. So we see that the according to Rashi, that doing these malachas in order to prepare for food are going to be usher midareisa. The Rambam, who agrees with Rashi's distinction about whether something is prepared before or after, seems to indicate that that would be only an iser derabanan. The Rush says that the third opinion, that when it comes to malachas, they're going to be usher, they're going to be usher by Darabanan. However, he says, when is it usher? That any type of malacha which is orally done on a large scale. They don't want people, there's a gzera of chazal, that they didn't want things to be done on a large scale because you're not going to prepare, you're going to be busy all day preparing the food and things like that, and not be able to, you're going to be like a catering business all day in Yom Tov, not actually preparing and enjoying Yom Tov. So that's why this case is going to be usher midarabanan. So that is what we just mentioned. And there's another very important principle, which the Gemara is going to mention that later on, is the concept of mitoch. We call it mitoch shutra l'tzorach, utra na mishalo l'tzorach. Since the malacha itself was permitted for the purposes of food, so too the malacha is going to be permitted when it's not related to food. That's going to be a machlok. As we're showing him, how far do we take that? Does it have to be at all? I don't have to have any purpose for it on the end of whatsoever. The Tosafot says, no, you need tzorach tzas. We'll get to that b'ezras Hashem later. But be'etzem, this concept is telling us that when it comes to a food-related malacha, like you could do the malacha of cooking, so then you could use warming up for not necessarily the purpose of cooking or eating your food, but rather, let's say, to wash your hands in hot water, something that has nothing to do with cooking, that would be allowed to heat up water for that purpose because of the principle of mitoch. Now, one other major fundamental topic that's discussed in Muktzah, in Maseches Beitzah, is the topic of Muktzah. Muktzah, we know, is something that's literally set aside. We discussed it in Shabbos, but we didn't really discuss it so much. Really, this is just a follow-through of Maseches Shabbos, Maseches Erevin, Maseches Beitzah. So Muktzah is going to be something that's asher midirabanan. Rashi seems to indicate some points of it, maybe deraisa, but etzem we hold for sure it's an iser derabanan. And the reason is, the Rambam writes, is that at the end of the day, it's something to refrain from moving things in a way that we do during the weekday. This is to safeguard Shabbos, not to be like the day of any other, the Rambam points out, and that's going to be it's going to be usher. And also, if you're allowed to use all the normal things that you use, the phones and whatever you're going to use all day, not get into electricity or whatever, but at that time, you're going to use other things that are muktzah, that's going to obviously take away from the spirit of Shabbos, and you're going to forget that b'chol it's even Shabbos, you might come to do real full-fledged malacha. So what are some categories of muktzah? We'll go very quickly through them. Obviously, we're going to discuss them more at length when we get to them. The first one is muktzah mashmal chisar and kis, that is something that is very expensive, something that like a painting on a wall that's very expensive, you don't want to move it, you're makbid not to move it. So that is something that is going to be usher, it's going to be set aside. You not be allowed to move it on Yom Tov. It's really the most, or Shabbos obviously also, and that's really the most chumra one. However, then you have one that's klish malachta le'isra. Classic example is a hammer. If I have a hammer, so that's klish malachta le'isra, which the Gemara tells us the tzorach gufa, the tzorach makoma is going to be mutter. So if I want to use it to crack open a nut, so that would be mutter. Or if I want to use the hammer to need the space on the table, I left it on the table by accident, so that's the tzorach makoma. I'm allowed to move it. Then you have mutzah mas with gufa, which is more, is intrinsically mutzah, something that has no usage on Shabbos, like a rock or money, things like that. those are something that's very chamar that doesn't have the heter of l'tzarach kufa l'tzarach makomo. Then we have a fourth category of basis l'davar ha'aser. This group is going to be that is fundamentally have something that's totally mutter. If I have a pillow with money on top of it or something like that, that is going to be basis l'davar ha'aser. And if it's we hold a kivan de'skate be'ben hashmashos, it's called the kul yom, and it's totally aser for an entire Shabbos to use that even the non mukta item because of the mukta item that's on top of it. And then we have mechubar, mechusar teda, the things that are attached to the ground, that those things are going to be like a fruit or vegetable attached to the ground. It's going to even become detached somehow on Shabbos, it's still going to remain mukta for the rest of the day. Then we have nolad. Nolad is something which was not around beforehand, like a beitzah shnolad, that's what we discussed. First case, we'll get to it. And mukta l'mitzvah, so something is designated for mitzvah. The Gemara has an example we had in Sukkah, that the walls of the Sukkah are going to be usher and touched on Yantiv and Shabbos because they are mukta. So that is the Isra of mukta. And so basically, that is the Masechta in a nutshell, just to describe what the prakim are going to discuss very quickly. And then we'll start the start of Masechta. First pack is basically just going to discuss the start of the mukta, as we mentioned, and some issues related to moving and carrying out objects. The second pack is going to discuss with Erev Tavshilin, and it's going to be the things that also allowed korbanos that are brought on the chag. The third parak is going to discuss the halachas of tzeda and shechting. Those things are going to discuss in the third parak. The fourth parak is going to discuss the halacha of hotzah from one place to another on yantiv. Also, it's going to be discussing other limitations, whether the Torah is going to be midaraisa drabanan, different malachas on yantiv. And the fifth parak is going to discuss just general definition of what's mutter on yantiv. Halachas of erevit chumen also being discussed there as well. The borders together, what's going to be, how far you can go, those things will be, as Hashem, all be discussed in this Masechta. With that, I think the basic introduction, we're ready to start Masechta's Beitza. Oh, one last ta'ara. Is that, are we allowed to call it Masechta's Beitza? There's a Chumra and the Achron and the Chachma Shlomo, the Magen Ram, I think, quotes this, is that maybe we should call it Masechta's Beya. So those who call it Masechta's Beya, I think we know that many people do call it Masechta's Beitza. Yesh v'yesh, whatever you do, whatever you do, does I will be calling it Masechta's Beitza. That is the interesting ara. Now, the Mishnah tells us, Beitza Shinolda Beyamta, if you have an egg which was laid out on Yantiv, so you had a chicken and laid an egg, so then Beishamay says that it is mutter to eat it on Yantiv, and Beisila says that it's usher to eat it on Yantiv. They hold that not only is it usher to eat it, but even moving it, we'll see, Be'ez Hashem, we'll get to it, is going to be usher according to Beis Hillel. Beishamay Omrim, Seor Be'kazayis. When it comes to Seor, there's two Isurim when it comes to the dinim of Pesach. As Shivas Yamim Seor Le'matzib Asichem, 7 days you're not going to have any leaven in your houses. Leaven is dough which has fermented to the extent that it can be used as yeast. So that's going to be the Isur of Seor. That's going to be the size of an olive. V'chametz B'ksavavis. However, the din of chametz, that's what we're more familiar with calling it chametz, the lawyer chametz, that is going to be anything that's made with dough that had chametz, that became leaven. So that's going to be the size of a kloseves, which is a date. The size of a date is going to be the shear. You get a much bigger size. The Gemara again is going to discuss that, why it's bigger. Maaz Hashem will get to that later. Beis Hillel Omrim, Zeve Zeve Kazayas. Whereas Beis Hillel say that both of this, that when it comes to the Isser of Seor and the Isser of Chametz, both of them are going to be the size of a olive. Both of them are going to be a kazayis. Again, we'll get to Be'ez Hashem, the Yisrael Machlokas. Then the Mishnah shows a third Machlokas. Ashochet Chayav Oof B'yamtav. If you shacht a wild animal on Yantav, B'shamei Omer, Yachbor B'deker V'chase U'V'sil Omerim, Bishamay says you allow to dig with a shovel and cover the blood with the dirt, with the ground, as the pasuk tells you. We need there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to do kisur adam. You have to cover it with the ground, with the earth. So this is the mitzvah of kisur adam. Kisur adam applies by a chai, but not to it does not apply to a behema. So here we're referring to chaya because it applies to chaya, not to behema. So Bishamay allow you to dig in order to mekayim this mitzvah of doing the mitzvah of kisui adam, and therefore the issue of mitzvah muksa is not going to be an issue according to Bishamay. However, Beis Hillel says lo yishchot ela im ken ela afram ba'od yom. You shouldn't do shchita unless you have prepared the earth beforehand. Umodim, however, even Beis Hillel are going to agree that if you violate a din or you did it by accident, shachah, you forgot about this halacha, you realize after you shechted, oh no, what am I going to do? There's an isra over here. So then, if I already did it, then sheachbar bedekar ve'chaseh. So then you should dig a hole and cover the blood with the earth that you've dug up, because once it's shechted, the dinder abundant, the isser abundant to take the ground from the floor is going to not going to override the isser, the mitzvah daraisa to do the mitzvah kisui adam. That's a shayla. Maybe you should. Maybe shave al tasa. You're just not being mekayim the mitzvah. I say the rabbanon do have the ability to oker that, but apparently here the rabbanon didn't go so far to make their gzira to stop you from doing the mitzvah. She'afar kira muchan hu, because the ashes of the stove are considered prepared. So that is going to be. Apparently the issue is not going to be an issue. The Gemara is going to discuss that line further. Now the Gemara says, "But my askinan, what type of chicken are we dealing with over here?" The Gemara suggests, "If we're talking about the Mishnah's referring to a chicken which is designated for eating, so then if they do this nowadays also. I'm not a farmer; I don't know anything about farming, but I'm pretty sure that they do this too. Also, that there's two ways that they fundamentally raise poultry. If you have something that's going to be fit for eating, so then if it's fit for their eggs, then they'll raise it in a certain way. They'll give a certain diet, and if it's omedes legadol beitzim, it's for just then if it's going to be for shech. Sorry, other way around. If it's going to be omedes lachila, then it's going to be raised one way. They're going to shechting it, and if it's omedes legadol beitzim, that's going to be you want it for its eggs. Then you'll give it a different diet. So here also the Gemara is wondering which animal we're discussing, which chicken are we discussing. So the Gemara says, because when targanos lachila, it's something that's ready to be eaten. Then my time I do beis hila. Why would beis hila say it's aser? It's ochad afrasu. The egg is separated from the food, and it's not considered mukta. At the end of the day, since it's like you just literally like as if like a person cuts off a piece of fruit from a loaf of bread, let's say, and cuts off a slice of bread, then it's going to be mutter. So too, in the case of the chicken, it should be mutter because it was designated before yantiv, and the egg is coming out. It's just going to be just like the slice of bread that you're cutting for yourself. So Gemara says, so Ella, what are we talking about? If the Mishnah is discussing a chicken that was designated to produce eggs, so then you had no intention whatsoever of shechting it. So then the Gemara asks, wait a second. Then my time would be shamai. So why would shamai who said that it's going to be mutter? Mukta, it's completely set aside. You had no intention of shechting it before Shabbos. So therefore, the animal itself is going to be mukta. So then the egg that's coming from it is going to be can't consider a detached piece of permitted food because at the end of the day, the mother which it came from is considered mukta. So therefore, it's going to be something that's not considered designated. The Gemara says, "My kusha." So we're going to ask, what exactly are you so bothered by? Dilma be shamai leis lehu mukta. Maybe your shamai don't hold to the principle of mukta. Fundamentally, there's a big machlokas tanaim throughout the Masechta Shabbos. And a lot of times, the Masechta Shabbos. There's a fundamental machlok is whether or not there's a principle of muksa. That's when we say Rav Shimon Leis and muksa, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that he doesn't hold to the principle in at all. It means that they disagree sharply how far the restrictions go. Rav Shimon is much more mekil. Like he says that when it says ein muksa, it means that if something was originally migo diskatei ben hashmasha, like that one where it was muksa at the beginning of Shabbos, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be muksa the whole time. Other muksas also is moted to. Rav Shimon agrees that muksa masa chesed kiss is a problem. So here, when Rabbi Huda, he is much more machmir, Rabbi Huda holds that when we say yesh muksa, it means that there's a much more broad application of mukta, and therefore, we would hold that there would be mukta. So maybe in this case, it's not going to be an issue of mukta that Reb Shimon would agree to, and maybe Shammai would hold like Reb Shimon. So Gemara says, no, even the one who says that we permit mukta, there's another raya there. Even Reb Shimon who says that we don't broadly apply the halachas of mukta. So then, even according to him. So, benolad asr, if it's going to be nolad is a type of muksa, that's going to be moda, it's going to be asr. It's a separate category of muksa, because at the end of the day, it's even less considered prepared whatsoever. It's not prepared at all, so therefore, it's going to be something that came into existence. On yantiv, it's considered mamash like it wasn't there. It's not at all prepared. You can't even express a das whatsoever. Even Rav Shimon is going to agree that would be asr. So we see that Rav Shimon does agree to different categories of muksa. So the Gemara says, so if that's the case, my time of the Beis Shammai. So then going back to our question, what's the reason of Beis Shammai? You said that it's mutter to be eaten. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Chanan, the Olam Patagol, and the Gadol Beitzim. Actually, we are discussing a chicken that was designated to produce eggs. So then, what's the question? So it's Islay Mukta, Islay Nolad. And the one who agrees, meaning that when the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that we do agree to a broader application of Mukta, he's going to hold that the Halacha of Nolad applies. The Leislay Mukta, Leislay Nolad. But Rav Shimon disagrees and says that we don't have a more narrow definition of what's considered a mukta. He would disagree and he holds that there is no nolad. So then what's going on over here? It must be Beis Shammai is pinning that opinion of Reb Shimon. He thinks that Reb Shimon would agree with Beis Shammai in this Mishnah that at the end of the day, this would not be considered mukta. So the Gemara says, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Hillel, they say that it's usher to eat the egg because they hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So now the Gemara has, wait a second. Does he really hold that Beis Hillel is going to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Is that really true? That's not, didn't we learn in the Mishnah Shabbos? The Mishnah Shabbos told us, Beis Shammai omrim, magbin ma'al ha'shulchan atzamas v'klipin. Beis Shammai says you're allowed to pick up the bones and the shells from the table on Shabbos. The bones and shells are considered generally mukta because they're unfit for eating. That's a shaila. The unfit gansin. The opinion of most Rishonim is that they're unfit for human food. However, for animal food, they are going to be. And the Lord of Shimon says that they are not muksa, even though they weren't designated for animal food before. And because now you could use them as animal food, they're not considered muksa. According to Yehuda, the bones of Shabbat muksa. Since the beginning of Shabbos, they were not designated for animal food. That's the opinion of most Rishonim. I'd say a lot of Rishonim. Rashi has an interesting chiddush in Shabbos. It's a big kash over there. Rashi says that the bone shells are not even suitable for animals at all. So then that's the opinion. That's the shaila. Then if that's the case, then they're going to be similar to Eitzim Avani and Muktzah Machlas Gufo. In which case, everybody would agree that they're going to be mukta, even Reb Shimon. That's a big question everyone has on Rashi over there, how he could explain that. It even means that they're not really for any achila at all, even for an animal. But that's the way Rashi explains it. So either way, the Gemara says, Beisilo say, Misalik is a tavla kula uminara. You remove the entire table and the board under it. They used to have a board. Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos describes it as a type of large board that they would place under a small table in order to catch all the breadcrumbs. So that's where they would have this board there, and you would shake the bones and you would shell it onto it, and the shells would not go onto it, and therefore they're mukta, so you can't touch them directly. Since the board is a kli, so then it's going to be allowed to be removed and shaken, as Rashi points out, since it's a kli. The Gemara continues the words of Amar Rav Nachman or Achman told us with regards to the Mishnah, Anu ein lanu ela beishamai kereb Yehuda. So Rav Nachman is telling us that Be'etzem, that when it comes to, we have no way to understand, the Mishnah really is reversing opinions. He said, I heard from Arabayim that Beishamai, as Rashi explains, that Beishamai rules like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore they're going to say that it's usher to have, to directly touch the atzamos over here, to directly touch the atzamos of Cleveland, touch the bones and the shells, and be usher. I heard Rabbi Silo, that Rabbi Silo is going to hold like Rabbi Shimon, and they're going to hold that this is mutter. They're going to say the halacha follows Beis Hillel, so it's very important to know how Beis Hillel holds. So according to Rav Nachman, or Rav Nachman's understanding that Beis Hillel is going to be really with the fact that they agree with Rabbi Yehuda. So who holds like what over here? So the Gemara says, Amar Lechar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, no, both are correct. Gabe Shabbos is Sasam Lantana Krabi Shimon. In regards to Hilchos Shabbos, the Tana, the Stam Tana, we Stam Tana, that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was authoring the Mishnahs. So if he didn't tell us who the opinion is, what's called the Tana Kama many times, we call him the first Tana. According to Yehuda, we put him as the Stam Tana because we're showing that we wanted to paskin like him. So that's the anonymous one, then we're going to paskin like him. This Tana, as we learn, in the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us in Shabbos, you cut up the gourds before an animal on Shabbos for it to eat these gourds. So the Mishnah is telling us that they're going to, they're obviously not attached. If they're attached, then we're violating Esther's Reis of Kotzer and cutting them off. But the Mishnah is telling us that if the gourds are already moved beforehand, they're not going to be an issue. So that's the first case. And you also cut up the dead animal and give it to your dog. You give it to your dog to eat, even if the animal died on Shabbos, that's going to be mutter. In the case of here, it's clearly following Rav Shimon. The case of following Rav Shimon because it's not considered mukta. Rav Shimon for sure saying that this animal is nevela, that the carcass of the animal for sure is going to be nevela. It's going to be a mukta according to Rav Yehuda. So we see over here clearly we follow like Rav Shimon. Mokim lela veisela, Rav Shimon. So therefore we establish the lacha mukta with regards to Shabbos as regard more makel. We're going to be more makel following that opinion of Rav Shimon because again we mentioned that we have a stam tana following Rav Shimon. However, aval, when it comes to, and Rashi just points out that nevela on Shabbos is Divina Shmashas Loisa Omenas Lachilas Klavim, and therefore that's why Rabbi Yehuda clearly says that Be'etzem it's going to be fundamentally Mukta. So Rabbi Shimon that says is much more, he's much more makel on what the Lachos of Mukta is. He's saying it's not a problem. We're going to follow the Mishnah and follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Aval, turning on to the next one now. Aval, Gabe Yom Tov, the Sasam Lan Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana is going to have the Stam Tana, the anonymous Tana is going to be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Again, when it's, I don't know if I fleshed out the importance of when it's the Stam Tana, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is telling you that's the opinion you should follow. Because he's not even quoting any who it was, because he's showing that that's like the majority opinion. It's interesting, well, you could also say Chachamim, he doesn't do it also, but whatever, when he says the Stam Tana anonymously, that is going to assume that's generally the halacha. The Stam, in regards to Yom Tov, we're more machbir, as the Mishnah tells us in Beitza later on, we're going to see this. It tells us, Ein Mavakin Eitzim Min HaKoros, you don't split the wood from the beams. The beams are considered Mukta Machbas Chachasarim Kis, because they're generally not ordinarily used for the purpose of anything other than binyan of building, which is obviously Asar and Yom Tov, so therefore, they're not going to be used for anything like firewood, which is something that's mutter on, going to be anything like firewood, so mutter on mutter and Yom Tov. However, everyone's going to agree, even Rav Shimon would agree, that mukta machas chasar and kisa, there should be mukta. That's not the raya. The raya is from the next point. V'lo min akora shenishbira b'Yom Tov, and not from a beam which broke on Yom Tov. We're telling if a beam broke on Yom Tov, which now it's going to be unfit for use in construction, it would normally be burnt as firewood. However, since this beam was anyantiv, was mukta, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's going to be mukta, it's going to be mukta the whole time. Rabbi Shimon is going to disagree, and he's going to say that it's going to lose its status of mukta the moment that it's that the malacha, it was ikar point of it, that it was supposed to be used for, is going to be dropped. So according to Rabbi Shimon, then it's no longer mukta. That's the principle we mentioned. Do we hold to this principle of kevan is got to the benish mashal, is got to kula yoma, that when something was mukta at the beginning of Shabbos, is entering, it's going to be mukta the entire day? That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says no, the mukta loses its status. It's no longer going to be mukta. It's not going to be mukta anymore. So therefore, that's what we learn is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So we're going to be machmer over here. That's the shadow. The Tosfos asks, is it really so pasha? Rabbi Shimon would say that the case of the broken beam is going to be mukta. Rabbi Shimon says that if something is going to be mukta and not lose its status of mukta, is the lashon of the Gemara is like it's going to be yoshev mitzapi. You're waiting for it to become useful. You want it to be useful. In this case, though, you didn't wait for the thing to break. The beam broke on yontiv. You wouldn't have wanted it. It was weak in condition before, and it would have been expected to break in the near future. Therefore, that maybe that's the havamin over here that Rabbi Shimon said that it's mukta. Maybe it was something that you would have thought was going to break. You knew it was weak, but if you didn't know that it was weak, for sure, Rabbi Shimon would agree that that's really maybe going to be mukta according to Tosfos. So again, now we've established that really over here, the lachas of mukta, the stam mishnah is being machmer for the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. We therefore learn that Rav Nachman's understanding that mishnah discussing a beis hillel biyontov is going to be producing eggs, and therefore beis hillel is ruling that the eggs are going to be mukta. But that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda because we follow Rabbi Yehuda with the letters of the lacha of yontov. Because lacha yontov we're going to be machmer. The verse is michti man sasim el mastisin. Who is the one who formulated all the Mishnayos? The Gemara says, Rabbi, no, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was the one who did it. My Shnabi Shabbos is on the Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara asks, wait a second. Shabbos, if anything, should be more machmer. We're more makel on Shabbos. Shabbos is all like Rabbi Shimon. The man Shadon Labi Yontav, this is all like Rabbi Yehuda. With regards to Yontav, we're going to, the Stam Mishnah is following the opinion that it's more machmer with regards to the Lachos of Mukta, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Why should that be? So the Gemara says, Amrei, they said, Shabbos to Chabir Avaloas El Zulba. Everybody knows how Chamar Shabbos is. Everyone keeps Shabbos. You know, there's a Chiyav Misa. So we can even believe in Am Haaretz on Shabbos because they're never going to even lie on Shabbos. They're used to recognize how kadosh Shabbos was. So it's not Rabbi Shimon to make us. Therefore, to follow like Rabbi Shimon, because we really hold like Rabbi Shimon b'atzam adin, and he's going to make it, we could be lenient like Rabbi Shimon. However, Yom Tov to kill Asa Zuzulay, but when it comes to Yom Tov, those halachas are more makel. It's only a stam lav. And also, people are more makel because a lot of the malachas are mutter. To cook on yantiv, to do a certain malachas are going to be mutter on yantiv. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was, when organizing Mishnayos, he wanted to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda as more machmer in order that people aren't mezalzel in yantiv. So therefore, since we have again the heterium of the both points, is the less of a vera, and that it's also something in which the malachas are mutter, that's why we're going to be potentially more makel. As a shalom achronim, an interesting deal. Because we're going to go, if we go like this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda or Machmer, what happens when Yantav falls on Shabbos? So then, is there still reason to assume that you'd have to be Machmer like Rabbi Yehuda? That's a very interesting question. Now the Gemara continues. By my ukminam. So now, Rav Nachman established the case of the Mishnah. We're going to go somewhere else. God the Beit Mishum Mukta. You established that the Mishnah talking about a chicken that was designated to produce eggs, and Beis Hillel would say that it's usher to it's usher, and therefore they say that the eggs are usher on Yantiv because the egg is Mukta. Yachi Adamifikam Beit. But we're arguing about the case of an egg. Liflik Upatana goes. Why don't we talk about the actual chicken itself? According to the chicken, you didn't intend to shecht it when Yantiv came in. So Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, would argue over that. Beishamai would follow Rabbi Shimon and say that you're allowed to shechter on Yantiv, whereas Beishila would say that you're not. Why don't we argue that about the chicken itself? So Gemara says, "Lodiyachah kolcha to Beishamai." Why don't I tell you a bigger chiddush to tell you how far it goes that Beishamai is mekel? Not only are they mekel on the chicken itself, but even on the manola chari, even on the case that was came from the egg, which is nola, is new, wasn't here beforehand. They're going to say is going to be mutter to have on Yantiv. The Gemara says, "Livlegay b'tarnegolas." Why don't they argue about the case of the chicken also? Lodiyachah kolcha to Beishila. Tell me the chiddush of Beis Hillel have machmir there, the mukta asiri. In the case of even ordinary mukta, they're going to be so machmir like the expansive definition of mukta, as Rabbi Yehuda tells us. The Gemara says v'chitim koach detira adif. You're going to suggest that we know koach detira is always better. In general, a person is telling us a chiddush la alacha about kula. That's a bigger chiddush, as Rashi tells us, because that when you think anyone could be machmir, and the Gemara in Ksuba tells us like right, the Gemara says hora la isra. How could he have a hora? Psak means you thought about it to tell you. To be machmer is in this kachal. Any post I could just tell you to be machmer all the time. It's not a chiddush. Those are a maker or seer of Moshe's godless. Obviously, it was a tremendous buck. He wasn't just finding kulas, but the way he learned, he's able to koach tetera adif. His general mahalik of being limited of kulas is a very beautiful way of learning koach tetera adif. That's what we see that the extent that a person is able to learn more is able to come out with a more a more permissive ruling. So the Gemara says v'niflag b'tavaya. So the Gemara says, why don't we argue in both cases? The Mishnah should be said tarnagolas hamedes legadal beitzim he u beitzasa. That not just the chicken and that was designated to produce eggs and itself and also the eggs which is laying, or both of them should be subject to this following machlokas. Beishami omrim teachel veisilo omrim lo seachel. This machlokas of Beishami says that it's mutter to eat and veisilo says it's not mutter to eat. You could just throw in that the bench of the tarnagolas also that he u beitzasa, that it also and the beitzasa is the same machlokas. Tosfos just ask, why in the world do we don't have that? But the Gemara says, "Kol makom that we have kof deter other. Why don't we ask that? Just throw in the extra din, and we'll just learn out both the kof deter and the kof deisura." So Tosfos is over here that here we want to mention both of them because it's very quick. All you have to say, "He ubeitasa." Here, Beitasa, and all the other cases, not Shaykh to mention the Kula, because the Chumra, because you're going to have to be Marach in the Mishnah. Again, Mishnahs are extremely concise. You used to memorize the Mishnah. So that we don't want to mention it. But here, all you're just adding is this the Tarnagolas, the chicken, and its Beitasa, and its eggs. So that would be a beautiful thing. That's going to be a beautiful way to send Mishnah. Mishnah is easy to remember. And it's going to be a good way to remember the Machlokas between Mishnah and Mesilah. So the Gemara says, that why don't we do this? So the Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion over here. Yet, many Rishonim, the Rambam, and others, the Rashba, others want to accept Rav Nachman Halacha. That's a shaila. Do we accept Rav Nachman's chilek and get a halacha of the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Harapaska, Rabbi Shimon, and Shabbos, and Rabbi Yehuda, and Yantav? That's a whole big dion in the postgame, and the Achronim, Rishonim, how to even pass a halacha of Maestas, the Shechanarach discusses it. Now, the Gemara can teach the second explanation of the Mishnah, Elamar Rabba. So Rabba wants to give the different explanation of the Mishnah, La'olam batarnagola samedes lachila. We're discussing the chicken that is designated for eating, and therefore it shouldn't be mukta. Of Yom Tov Shechalios, Achar Shabbos, a different case completely. We're talking about the egg, which was laid on Yom Tov. That Yom Tov was actually on Sunday, when we shumachana, and that's the issue over here. It fell after Shabbos on Sunday, and that's what we're dealing with. Shumachana, we're discussing the issue of hachana over here, preparing hachana de rabba. This is hachana de rabba over here. This is the colloquial term for it. According to rabba, Shabbos yontov not allowed to prepare from one another. That the food from one day should be prepared from a weekday, and it should not be prepared from Shabbos to yontov. So and vice versa. Kasava Rava kol beitzot demitzel zayina meitzmel gamr lai. Any egg that laid today became fully formed yesterday. So this egg, which is laying on Sunday, came fully formed on Shabbos. So therefore, it'd be Shabbos preparing for Yantiv, and Shabbos preparing for Yantiv is usher. Chora, maybe even potentially, Rava, maybe even an iser deraisa. Many Rishonim learn that Rava holds that his din is even deraisa. Others understand that maybe it's on derbanan, but either way, this zechana Rava, he's assuming is the issue. The Rabba Latayman Rabba is going to follow his own sheet. The Dama Rabba might achsiv vayom b'mashiv v'chinos asher aviyu. Plus, it says the sixth day they should prepare the man for the next day for Shabbos. Chol meichin l'Shabbos, only on the weekday can they prepare for Shabbos. V'chol meichin l'yamtiv and chol weekday can prepare for yamtiv. And when it comes to yamtiv, also you should not be allowed to prepare from yamtiv from anything else other than a weekday. V'ein yamtiv meichin l'Shabbos, but yamtiv cannot prepare for Shabbos. V'ein Shabbos mechadin l'yamtiv. Also Shabbos, meaning the Shabbos comes first, you can't prepare for yamtiv on Shabbos. Prepare for motzi Shabbos, which will be yamtiv. So therefore, Beis Hillel say that the egg is also yamtiv since the preparation happened on Shabbos. That's the whole issue over here. The preparation that came out about on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Abaye has a question in Rabbadam. Elamata, on the contrary, Yom Tov be'alma tishrei, then on a regular Yom Tov you're going to tell me, which doesn't fall out on Sunday, then it should be permitted. That you said the Mishnah refers to Yom Tov that fell on Sunday, so you're going to tell me that an egg was laid on any other day of Yom Tov. There should be mutter. The Gemara says, I was going to answer, no, but you're right, maybe it should have said that, and it doesn't, so that's not the halacha. Rabbi agrees that it's not the halacha, so he answers, Gzira Mishum Yom Tov Afer Shabbos. So the egg is in fact going to be Asher Midrabanan on the fact on the account of Yantav Shechalios Achar Shabbos. So they make a low plug that's going to be Asher all the time. The Gemara says Shabbos to Alma Tishrei. Fine. What about Shabbos? The regular Shabbos, if it lays an egg, it should be mutter. The cooking is Asher on Shabbos. So then, what am I going to do with the egg? What can I do with the egg? I can eat it raw. I can eat the raw. People a health shake thing. People eat that, or at least think that was something people did. But either way, you can eat a raw egg. And Gemara says, no, because gzera mishum Shabbos achar Yom Tov. You can make a gzera because Shabbos is going to fall out after Yom Tov, so therefore, you're going to be machmir. The Gemara says, umigas rinan, but we go so far as to extend the fact, the whole iser, is that we're afraid that it's a gzera like gzera type of thing. It's on Sunday, you're machmir because ein chol mechin, ein Shabbos mechin le Yom Tov. And so we're going to go around all the cases where a Yom Tov even doesn't fall out on Sunday. V'hatana, don't we learn in Braisa? Shochet is tarnagolas. So if you shecht a chicken and matzah ba beitzim gemuros, and you found fully developed eggs inside this egg, mutar sa'aflan inside this chicken, rather, mutar sa'aflan b'yontav, you can allow to eat it on yontav. So the Gemara asks, though, v'im isa, if it's true, Rabbanan have a gzera, that according to gzera of Rabba's halacha, then, ligzer mishum ha'anach z'miyadim, so then they should make a decree, they should make the decree on the eggs that are found inside the mother, they should be usher because of the eggs that are laid on that day, because the eggs laid on the day is also usher. Elamai, so what do we see? So we see that we don't make that gzera. So the Gemara answers, no, amar lei. So Rabba answered, beitzim gemuros ba'inan iman milsa delo shichahi. That the fact you have a case of fully developed eggs that are in the stomach of the mother, and that's how we shekhla, you found it like that, that's very rare. And therefore, we have a concept of milsa delo shichahi lo gazru rabbanan. That when you have something that's not frequent, the rabbanan didn't make a decree on that. So if you happen to have that infrequent case, in a chanami, a lot of times it would be allowed to be mekel if it doesn't fit into the category of something that's going to be usher. Be'ez Hashem, okay, I'll pick up with Reb Yosef Amar, Be'ez Hashem in tomorrow's daf. And just one last thing, I'll just end off that we had this halacha l'maisa when it came to this year, a perm shechalios on Yud Daled, and that means that Tesvav is Shabbos. So then the post going to say that there's the gzera of, you're not allowed to carry the Megillah on Shabbos. That's why you don't really lay in the Megillah on Shabbos. Those are in Yerushalayim. But what about if you have a bar mitzvah boy's bar mitzvah on Shabbos? So machrom atatana, that's milsa lo shchicha lo gazer rabbanan. This concept over here, it doesn't come up a lot, and therefore, and it's how often does Shabbos come out? How often does Shabbos come out on the Tesvav? We haven't had one like in 50 years where Tesvav other comes out on Shabbos. It doesn't happen. So therefore, it's milsa lo shchicha. Maybe the bar mitzvah boy should lean for his lach. However, Rabbanan Tzalam, maybe posting said, but there are so many bar mitzvah boys that whenever you'll have one, you'll have bar mitzvah boys who come out that year. On other, then it's not, it is shchicha enough. But at some, they agree that maybe there aren't goes there for bar mitzvah boy if a bar mitzvah boy's bar mitzvah falls out on Tesvav. Okay, Bezhashem will pick up Rabbi Yosef Amar, Bezhashem in tomorrow's daf.